CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
Boy, say, I don't like black bitches. I hate black bitches. I want my bitch foreign. I don't want an Alexis or Mercedes or Tamika. I want a La Cienega or a Lauren. Maybe a Helga, possibly a Becky. I mean, you pretty for a black girl, but I want my babies to have good hair and pretty eyes. That's what he told me. Like he forgot that the woman who had 8 hours of contractions and was in labor for another 12 is black, and his mother's mother is black, and his sisters and his aunts are black too. Shit, I think he forgot that he was the blackest nigga sitting in this room. Why should I feel more love from the descendants of my slave masters before I feel love by the man who created this earth with me? I started tripping like, do I need bleaching cream? Do I start with my skin? Can I dissect myself and pull myself apart and pull out the bad genes from within? Like, maybe I'm too loud. Or I might be too strong. But that's something I inherited from my ancestors. I had to raise whole families on slave farms. I had to nurse little Bills and take care of little Toms. And by the time they were 10, they were spitting in our face and lynching the next day. Shawns, he said, I don't like black bitches. Like he forgot that the first proof of existence was that of a black woman, and her name wasn't Lucy. It damn sure wasn't Eve. It was something like Netunetir Sais or Nushepsu Rasekhmet. And your name wasn't no damn Adam. It was something like Adeyemi or Imhotep. He said,
come on, history lesson.
You pretty for a black girl.
Thank you.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, carry on the struggle. The generations surged together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children in natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together.
And I pray for a day like today, bright and shining. Soca glory, everyone with a flag and a smile on their face. Lordy daddy, of every creed and race, Lord. Phenomenal, lovely atmosphere. Mm-hmm. If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be here?
No one. Yes, the party starts on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is Ross Require with Prince Ravona, Princess Jim Solom, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here but never here. Sometimes here is Queen, is Princess Rachel, who is now Queen Rachel. And always here is Princess Catherine, making sure we stay clean and mean. Anyhow, we have a group coming on this morning. Martin and his group, we're going to talk with them probably around 6:45. Love and kindness, stay with us.
FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
in the court is whether that duty to consult should apply to citizen-initiated petitions. And that's where I think that the court erred in judgment, and I think it's also anti-democratic, the decision that they made.
I'd like to respond. So I think we know that, that is not correct, a lot of what you just said there, Premier Smith. Specifically, and we spoke about this, so I don't mind repeating this. It is not up to the petition gatherers to fulfill the duty to consult. It is up to you as the Alberta government.
Western Premier's meeting in Alberta concluded at least publicly with a sharp exchange between Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith and Manitoba's Premier Wab Kanu, with Kanu, as you heard there, urging Smith to put a stop to her fall separation referendum and challenging her on the duty of governments to consult with First Nations on issues that could affect treaty rights. And Premier Kanu is with me live right now. Hi, Premier. It's good to see you as always. Thank you very much for making the time.
Thanks for having me back.
So we only saw, and that's just a snippet, we aired more of that exchange, of course, last night after it occurred. But that's what we as the public saw. Was there a conversation after that press conference between you and the Premier?
Well, we shook hands. And yeah, that was the end of the meeting.
Are there, I guess, is there anything you can share about the nature of your conversations on that? Like, is there any common ground that was arrived at behind the scenes on the issues that you raised?
Well, you know, I'd always like to find common ground with my colleagues. I'm a patriot, and so I want to see this country that I love so much thrive and succeed, and to have Alberta continue to be a wonderful part of that. So, you know, I want to also respect the collegiality and confidence we have, but I think I can do that while also saying I did encourage Premier Smith on a few occasions to not proceed with the referendum. I think Canadians, including most Albertans, don't want this referendum to happen, and we'd rather talk about things like building our economy and fixing healthcare. So that's the message that I brought to the Premier's conference, and was happy to share it during the closing press conference as well.
On the subject of the referendum and the prospect of separation, the Premier has defended her position by...
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks, bye.
First Lady of Song, is that her nickname? Maybe so. Maybe so.
Jumping, and the cotton is high.
Yes, a nice, super laid back morning, and we have summertime coming through. And we have in this summertime, as it's coming up here, we have Martin Valach together with the band that he drums for. Could you introduce the rest of the band, Martin?
Is he here? So hush, little baby. Baby,
yeah, I wanted to introduce individual members, but all right. We have the High Roads Orchestra here with us. Martin Balach is the drummer, and he's also a drop-in on the Fantastic Friday show, giving information about what's going on up there in the community. But he's here with the High Roads this morning. Hold tight, we're getting forward.
One of these mornings!
One of these mornings.
You're
Good morning again. Martin, you all there?
Yeah, good morning, good morning.
All right. Introduce the individual members of High Road now because we're more familiar with you.
Okay.
So we have you introduce them individually.
Okay.
And well, later on we go on to talk about the band.
Yeah. Well, the leader of the band is Leanne, and she's our
Hi, Leanne. Good
Hi,
morning.
Hi, good morning.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Keith is the guitar man and all the multi-tech things. And those Martin, sometimes people hear my voice out there out in Fantastic Friday listening land. Yeah.
But we don't hear your voice in the music.
No.
We don't listen good enough.
The odd backup vocalings I do. I don't try to, you know.
Dominate.
No, I don't try to spoil it up with my little voice in there. But yeah.
We always want him to sing more, but he backs off.
Will the lead singer call you down?
Well, some of it may happen. We were discussing some of that.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
And Fantastic Friday now is on the in-road of what's going on with High Road. Aye, aye.
In-road to the High Road.
Okay, we'll come back to you in a minute.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Changer de vie, de numéro. Ce que je devais voir, bah je l'ai vu. J'ai comme retrouvé la vue. Je demande ce qui m'échappe. Tu me dis que je fais le sang. C'est là qu'entre nous t'as déclaré la guerre. Telle une sirène, tous les bouts je racolais. Il a la digue facile, je suis une hit machine. Pas une fille facile, je me donne 10 sur 10. Hit machine, je suis une hit machine. Pas une fille facile, je me donne 10. J'suis bien hyper, 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 hyper. Les enlever. hype. Puis il aimait trop les bêtises, faisait trop de bêtises. Puis il aimait trop les bêtises, faisait trop de bêtises. Put you first, that's my path. Look and delete you, no more time for that. No, no, two chances, too many to track. Just worry about my back, I don't want you back, no. So cry for me, go cry, I'll be doing fine. Promise you this time I won't fall for all those stupid lies. Pack your shit and go, you just someone I used to know.
Them and sound vibrations come out and I thump them and kick the thing and whoosh, splash and crash the crash. And I tribute to the rocky, punky, bluesy, country-ish, reggae-ish, funky sounds that is High Road.
Wow, you do a lot.
He keeps us solid, man.
He tried to minimize it by saying that he just bang up the drum, but now I hear all the kind of...
Just thump it. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now he's working hard. His brain is on fire.
All right.
He's smoking.
We'll come back to you in a minute. I want you to hear MC Motion. She basically leads the words for most singers. She's a poet.
She's in good morning, Winnipeg. You're listening to my favorite radio show, Fantastic Fridays, every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceneers, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Power to the people. And power to Leanne, the lead singer of High Road. Yeah. Come again, Leanne, let me hear you. What inspires you to jam with So Nice?
Oh, well, thanks, Rico. I feel like it's just a divine expression of God, you know. He placed the music in me. He created me to sing and express this way. And the songs just come through him. It's like a download from God, from higher vibration. And we're inspired to just bring peace and joy and love into a world that can often feel really dark and dreadful.
Those are the words. What about the rhythm?
The rhythm.
All right, Martin.
Let the rhythm move you.
Martin is there, so. And your lead guitar is there too, so.
Yes.
You have that inspiration musically, but spiritually, you go to your God.
Yes.
All right. Positive. I was going to ask you a question, but I would ask Martin that question, but I wouldn't ask you that. He could guess what it is, but I'm not going to ask it.
What's it going to be, Martin?
No, it's all right. You can manifest it. Instead of trying to be too hard psychic.
Yeah. Anyhow. Anybody else want to ask Leanne or the guitar man any question? Because he keeps that music moving, you know, with the pieces in between. You will hear the guitar in between and thing.
Yeah, I'm playing three guitars at once, trying to be three guys. But
you hear him yourself, right? He said it himself. Anyhow, tell me about your inspiration to accompany Leanne and. And at this point, Martin.
Well, I love music, and I've been playing with Marty off and on for many years, and he inspires me. Leanne inspires me with her songs, and that's kind of how we put it all together. We inspire each other, and she brings the words and some of the melody, and we figure out how we're going to make it jump, and...
In about 4 minutes, we're going to play one of your jumpy tunes.
Okay.
And we will talk about it then again. Hold tight. Jibba jibba jibba.
Hi, I'm Jelsie Vanderhoeft from the Westman soccer team, and I listen to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m.
Charlie, I spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell her, no, so watch out. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a day park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the can, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them won't forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call a need to over me, man a fight. And that now one no time in a day life. No cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness coming with pair rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, if you come back quick.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Well, hear this.
Where you come from? As long as you're a black man,
a black woman or a black child,
no mind your nationality, you have got the identity
and perspicacity.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from
it
West
really
Portland,
don't
you're
matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called Nigeria, as your brother they call Prince
so don't
Obuna,
you come from,
to give you news and views
as
about
long
from
as you're a black man,
Africa, all the way. Bow! And all suffering peoples
no
who are being downcast. Hit them!
Have got the identity of an African.
So let me go back to are you playing any pieces now or you're going back or we could go back to Leanne right away. you play her tune. So don't you where you come from. Yeah, man. I wrote it in Europe. Nice to hear your voice on the music, and I could hear the inspiration coming through to you. You're damn lucky, man. You get the, you created a call to you and whisper things to you, and so you have a good footing on the ground.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I feel like I have a connection, you know, with Source, and I just am obedient to putting out there what he puts in me to put out there. And a lot of inspiration from, you know, my fellow players here, my brothers, my husband, and all those that have come before us who've laid down the tracks and the paths. And I just feel super blessed to be able to do what we're doing at this time.
I noticed that reggae draws a lot of people calling on blessing and peace and stuff like that. You want to tell me your connection to that?
Oh, well, you know, there's just so much suffering and pain in the world. And I guess personally, you know, I see what's going on around in our city and worldwide, and breaks my heart. Sometimes you can feel really helpless and hopeless. And I suppose one way we feel like we can combat that is just by, through our music, bringing some peace and some joy, spreading some love and some light.
You get me before I get you. I was going to ask you if you bring joy, if you feel joy, and you express it right there. And you can hear it in the music, too. You can hear that expression of joy, that expression of peacefulness, that expression of love, kindness. Is it reggae that does that, or would you, and not comparing them, but would you give a lot more to your creator inspiring you than the music itself?
Yes, I would say so. I would say it's creator, because I do feel that even in the songs that aren't reggae, but there is something about the reggae feel, the vibrations that come through that music in particular, that really have that, yeah, that higher vibe going on. So I would say it's a little bit of both.
Okay, Martin, give me a feel about that connection, that connectedness with the spirituality that Leanne talks about.
give you if. Sorry, can you say
the You're drumming.
Uh huh. From the drumming.
And you're putting, and she expressed that you put pleasure into the music, fun into the music, etc.
Okay.
Because she described what she feels out of reggae, spiritually and musically.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask in you now, tell me your connection to it.
Yeah. Well, drums coming from Africa, as far as I'm understanding it, have that spirit within it. Even though we're at a different time and more in, what do you want to call it, diaspora from there, I still have the belief and understanding that there's a healing spirit that can come with it, especially if that's our intent. And ancient gods and connection with the drums and speaking and communicating and things like that. It's all, assisting in a healing help, I guess, through music. So the drum vibration, it's gonna hit people in the cells. It's gonna hit people in the, just people's energies, emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, all kind of different things people are getting from music. So trying to have certain primal drum beats, even if they're polyrhythmic or not, all of them, I think, assist people's healing, whether they're aware of it or not. Reggae has that ability.
So. Drums bring the dance.
Okay, use your brother. Let me hear from your husband now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. The drums bring the dance, and the bass line makes you think somehow. It brings the heart and mind together, and the rhythm is good. You can't help but move, eh?
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Leanne, tell us about your moving forward now. I mean, right now, you guys are releasing a new release, and you have some songs on it, a new song. Tell me about it.
Okay, yeah, so we're super excited. We've just finished our debut album as this project, as High Road. So it's 13 songs that I've, you know, written over about 10 years. And we're having our CD launch this upcoming Saturday, June 13th at the West End Cultural Center. So doors open at 7, the show starts at 8. Tickets are available online on the WEC website. Mm-hmm. And we're just really excited to share the songs from the album as well as some of our favorite reggae tunes. And yeah, just share it worldwide.
Yeah, I am sure that the public is awaiting it too with bated breath. These people, they just come out and they have one of the top reggae drummers with them. And
right? Yeah, so I just want to share, the album is called About the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole album was actually recorded in 432 hertz, which is the, you know, the frequency of the heart, for those that know about frequencies. So yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's also good to hear. Do you do all your own arrangement or?
Yeah, usually I get the songs. I'll have the lyrics and the melody, sometimes other pieces, and then I'll take it to the boys and they do what they do and fill it in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make it better. They always make it better.
Well, I mean, how could anybody doubt the beauty of something when you have your husband, you have your brother? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yes,
and sometimes my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard your daughter with you already. You guys make a dangerous foursome, fivesome. And yeah, we'll get back to you in a minute or two. Let's play some more music.
Try to love again, baby. first piece is from Dem Cousin Now, where we speak with Associated Press reporter Karim Chirab in Beirut. He knows that Lebanon is a big state that doesn't have a lot of leverage. Studying.
What happened yesterday was in no means a ceasefire or a step towards a complete ceasefire. However, it was a containment effort to stop what could have, in fact, taken Lebanon back to where it was in the peak of the war, where Israel would be bombing the southern suburbs of Beirut, where there would be mass displacement from these sprawling urban neighborhoods, and it would, and Hezbollah would continue launching rockets and missiles into northern Israel. They weren't doing much of that in this period, and most of their attacks were targeting Israeli troops in Lebanon, but we did witness an escalation of that. Now, what happened was is that obviously Hezbollah and the United States do not communicate with each other. The Lebanese Speaker of Parliament, Nabih Berri, who was a key Hezbollah ally and communicates with the United States and has done so with mediators in the past, such as Amos Hoxine and so on, it appears he played a very crucial role in the communication on the line, as well as the Lebanese ambassador to Washington, who, of course, is taking part in the negotiations, including tonight, the ones taking place today and tomorrow. And so there has been a series of calls. In the meantime, the president of Lebanon has repeatedly been on the line with Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the State Department, as officials have told us, and there's been a flurry of diplomatic calls, and this is why we saw a lot of statements from France, from Germany, from Saudi Arabia and other countries, basically trying to halt what looked like an imminent escalation that would have basically taken Lebanon back to where it was before this nominal ceasefire went into effect on April 17. This obviously is something that Beirut wants to use its momentum in order to get something out of these talks. Beirut has, basically, you can see from the statements coming out of the president, the prime minister's office, that Lebanon wants to stick to these talks, but they're trying to get something out of it. Israel's military escalation last week has really frustrated the authorities. They're very concerned that they're losing support over these talks, and they're trying to show that indeed they have leverage to get something out of this, and they are sticking to wanting a complete ceasefire. So yet they're trying to take advantage of yesterday's momentum, but of course this is in no means a full ceasefire. The strikes in Lebanon continued this morning across southern Lebanon, and Hezbollah has also claimed some attacks on Israeli troops in southern Lebanon.
I mean, the situation is different from 2015, so the comparison is going to be very inexact. Iran is not in the position it was before. It has discovered a tool, the control of the Strait of Hormuz, that it didn't really know it had, or if it knew it had it, it wasn't prepared to use it. Its nuclear program is in a very different state than it was in 2015. In some ways, it's weak because it's been bombed. In other ways, it's strong because Iran has accumulated irreversible knowledge. I think the comparison in some ways is sort of a futile exercise. I don't want the president to think that whatever deal he reaches is going to be worse than the JCPOA, because that will just give him another incentive not to conclude a deal. I think the main question is, number one, what this war shows and where we are today demonstrates that his decision to withdraw from the deal in 2018 was a completely reckless and absurd one, because we're now in a position where we're renegotiating issues that had already been settled and negotiating a new issue that never should have been on the table in the first place, which is reopening the Strait of Hormuz. The one lesson, though, the comparison where I think some of the critics of the JCPOA are having a very hard time with the current reality is that the two main criticisms of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, number one was that Iran retained its right, what it considered its right to enrich uranium, something that critics thought never should have been the case. And second, the deal never addressed issues like Iran's ballistic missile program, its support for regional allies, or its drone program. Whatever deal comes out of the current negotiations, one thing is for sure, Iran will retain what it considers its right to enrich, and the deal will not touch on those other issues that I just mentioned. So the logic of the deal, even if the details will be different, the basic construct of the deal, which is nuclear constraints in exchange for sanctions relief, that's the only deal that's on offer. And again, we should never have been in the position we're in now. The president's decision to rip up the deal, to impose maximum pressure sanctions, and then to go to war has left us in a weaker position and without any option for getting a deal that would be dramatically different from the one that was concluded in 2015 at best.
The order issued by the Israel's military spokesperson yesterday covers the entire area south of the Zahrani River, but it also comes after multiple displacement orders have been issued for over 50 villages and towns in Lebanon over the last 36 hours. And then after those displacement orders were issued, there was a blanket order issued by Avichai Adruai, the Israeli military spokesperson, calling on residents of all towns and villages south of the Zahrani River to leave north of the river. As you noted, it's almost 14% of the territory, of the Lebanese territory. Not only that, but this comes in a period where it's, you know, supposedly a ceasefire. But despite this, there's been just in the last week, Israeli attacks have killed over 180 people. This includes over 9 medical workers, 7 children, 21 women, and in the entire ceasefire period. So from April 16th until today, there's been nearly 1,000 people killed, 975 people, including 48 children, 43 women, and 26 medical workers. When the ceasefire went into effect in April 16, returns were very rare, slow, if at all they took place. And this was particularly because the Israeli military had designated a large area around the border, around 600 square kilometers, as a buffer zone. It demarcated a yellow line, the south of which it told people they're prohibited from going. But despite this, strikes continued across the south, across the Litani, but even north of it. And so we're currently in a supposed ceasefire period, one where hundreds of thousands of people remain displaced. Over 130,000 people remain displaced across 600 shelters across the country, and hundreds of thousands of others are displaced in homes that they've rented or with families, putting, you know, great strain on the Lebanese authorities and their abilities to host or provide shelter for displaced people. But more than that, it's hard to see an end in sight. There is no signs that things are slowing down. In fact, on Tuesday, Netanyahu said that he and the Minister of Defense, Israel Katz, have ordered or instructed that there will be a deepening of the operation in Lebanon. Smotrich, the Minister of Defense, a Minister of Finance, and a Minister in the Defense Ministry, has said that for every explosive drone fired by Hezbollah, 10 buildings should fall in Beirut. Once again, I mean, they've both the displacement orders issued for, you know, the blanket displacement for the area south of the Zahrani, the high number of displacement orders issued for villages, and the statements by the Israeli authorities showing, you know, complete disregard for the laws of war is not new. But it continues to happen. It continues to happen amidst a supposed ceasefire. And unfortunately, it's not clear where things are going, whether they will continue to escalate. But what is certain, I think, is that unfortunately it is the civilians, those who are displaced, who will be displaced again, who are being killed, that bear the greatest price, or that pay the greatest price.
It's about people feeding their families, and a political exclusion, a racial exclusion. Remember that Bolivia is a country where for 19 years, indigenous people and social movements enjoyed equal rights and political inclusion. With the election of right-wing government Rodrigo Paz, even though he was elected as a last-ditch alternative by many of the protesting sectors, what we see is a return to the neoliberal policy, to these austerity shock measures, and the removal of fuel subsidies. And it's generated a great deal of poverty, especially for Bolivians' working class and subsistence farmers. You know, social movements in Bolivia have always been very well organized, indigenous communities. We're talking about a country that was colonized, but that colonization was never able to break down those strong social ties, cultural ties, or a union movement that eventually helped the first indigenous president come to power. It's something that's been brewing for a very long time. But there's a huge break between what Paz promised and what he's done in practice, which is select a white upper middle class cabinet with only 2 women, reject any genuine dialogue, reject interaction with the Bolivian social movements, or even have any empathy for people and what they're going through day to day as they try to feed their families. You know, it's not enough to put on a poncho for your campaign and then forget about your electorate.
All
All right, so we are just going to pause our pieces coming off of Democracy Now for the moment and touch base with High Road. We did lose Keith, unfortunately, but we still have Martin and Leanne. So I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on. Once again, we want to encourage everyone to come out to that album release on June 13th at the West End Cultural Center. It's going to be a really, really good show. We, as Fantastic Friday, have attended many, many a High Road show, and we are never disappointed. We really hope to see you guys all there.
Yeah, right on.
Anything else you guys want to say before you head out for the day?
Just thank you so much for having us on this morning. We wish everybody a beautiful, blessed day. And yeah, really look forward to seeing you all out at the show next Saturday night at the West End Cultural Center. Good vibrations.
Yeah, listen for us around town. We will be, I don't know if we'll ever be on Corydon or some different places. We'll be around town during the summer. Look out for High Road, reggae vibes, rock vibes. Thank you all, Fantastic Friday people. Have a good day out there. Blessed love unto you.
Yes, thank you again, guys, so much. And definitely keep an eye out. We will be keeping the people updated on where they can find High Road this summer. And we're going to bring it back to the music here with a little bit of Phyllis Dillon for the moment.